you are using that here today. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. Hear the word of the Lord. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Thus is the reading of this holy word. You may be seated. This is the beginning of the pouring out of the seventh vial. You'll remember that these final visions are all together, packed in from chapter 16 all the way to the end. And here begins the pouring out of that seventh vial and a great prosperity of the church resulting therein. It's resulting from what we see here, this binding. Binding of Satan, binding of the devil, binding of that old serpent, that dragon. You'll notice that all of these symbols of Satan are ones given in the scriptures. The old serpent, of course, old, back in the beginning, okay, that which fooled Eve, that we're going to be reading about even here today. And then, of course, the dragon of chapter 12 of this same book, where he was going out devouring the church, the woman who was running into the wilderness. But then you also have him, of course, anciently called the devil and Satan, he who accuses the brethren. And so you'll notice there's a binding of him. Now, there's many bindings of Satan in the scripture. Okay, there's four to be exact. And this one is which one is the question. But it's easily able to be obtained. When we look at the first binding of Satan, it's from the work of Christ. And you see that binding in every Christian. Every one of you who remember your old life, Satan was bound and you were converted and you were made new. And you had the ability, that kingdom of darkness that was on you, you had the ability to cast it off. And you were putting on new things and you were a new person. You were so much so you can be called a new man. And that's the first binding of Satan. There was the second one where that dragon was destroyed and unseated in Revelation chapter 12. And this is that earlier from this. And this is not during the vials, of course. This is at the end of the seals. And the trumpets, of course, starting that unseating of, or that rising of the dragon into a new form. And not being a dragon anymore, but an antichrist. And so, but that's all before this. That's before the vials. And so this is making the excellent placement of being that binding, which happens the third time. The fourth binding is the final one. That's one where he's not getting up from. He won't be loose from the final binding. He's thrown into the lake of fire forever to be tortured there with the reprobate. And so you have here this third binding. And you'll notice that just as in the first binding, it wasn't a total binding. Christ said, I'm going into the strong man's house, so I got to bind the strong man. And indeed he did. And that's why the church never, never will be able to be overtaken. Because the devil has been bound from overtaking the church. But he's not bound in every way, of course. You see that in your own life. And in this second binding, he's bound in regard to being that dragon that persecutes the church. And persecution is lifted. But he's not bound in every single way, just in that sense. And so we see this binding in that sense of where he can no longer deceive the nations. And this third binding is that which enables the church to spread over the whole world and have this glorious 1,000 years, which is being talked about here. This is a difficult chapter, one which we're going to take in pieces because of the fact that it has been so greatly, in our generation especially, misinterpreted by that which are called dispensational. But we are also seeing, as we look back in the history, that this also happened. This very same chapter happened as well in the early church. And they call these heretics chiliast, or millenarians, or other such terms. And so Cerinthites as well. And so these types of heretics, they really put into a church a misunderstanding on chapter 20, which we'll be able to unpack as we look at each portion of it here, and hopefully we can see what the witness has been in the church. Because the witness of what this means has been in the church forever, and has been preached upon, and I can see it in Augustine, and you can see it in the Fathers, you can see it in the Reformation. We know what this is. We might not know every detail of everything. We might not know whether this 1,000 years is literal 1,000 years or relative into the 42 months and the times and half a time and the 1,260 days. We might not know whether this is being relative or literal. We'll find that out in hindsight. But we know that this 1,000 years is definitely representing a glorious time of the church. And it's to come. When Satan will be bound and the nations no longer deceived, the nations will all turn to him. The nations will call Christ Lord. And we're given that here. And we know that this type of symbology is true because you have keys, you have chains here in the very first verse. But let me ask you something. Can you bind a spiritual Satan with a literal chain? This is most obviously a representative chain. It's most obviously something which is representative or that which has a meaning that is common in the apocalypse, where it stands for something else, though it has and it's spoken of as literal. And so we're going to lay out, and I'm going to give you an insert in the couple weeks where we're going to go through this. I'm going to give you an insert to help you see those things. Because I know me speaking, sometimes you can't catch everything. I'm going to send you home with something that helps you see. We know this isn't literal because look how the prophet used it here, and the Holy Spirit used it here, and the Holy Spirit used it here. Why would the Holy Spirit change his mind here? He wouldn't. He's consistent. Okay, and he wants us to interpret Scripture with Scripture. So we're going to try to do that. What you need to know from the first three verses is this, that this angel is one which has the key to the bottomless pit. There was an angel given that let out the locusts before, and this is that same angel. Can it be referring to the Lord Jesus Christ? It may be, because he is said to have the key, to have all authority, but it also could be one commissioned by him as well. And it's not exactly clear whether it is he or not. It makes more sense, I think, for one to be commissioned for this purpose. And we place this binding as that third binding of Satan. We show that it's not teetotal, because we know in the end of the chapter, Satan had already, through this 1,000 years, had some that were fake Christians hiding. So he's bound in regard to deceiving the nations, but not the individual. He has many individuals, and it's only individuals which are coming to Gog and Magog. There will be kings or will be judges, but they're individuals, no longer nations. And that's the big thing that you need to notice in these first three verses. And what you need to remember is that this is coming and it's going to be glorious. And this is what we're doing now, preparing. What we're doing now will continue. And that day to come, they'll be looking back upon our time, even now, of fighting for the nations. Fighting for the nations. Though the dragon is mighty, he will not prevail. He will not prevail. And so we'll respond appropriately. Psalm 76a, unto that end. Psalm 76.